You are listening to the Devoted Women's Podcast. This teaching is meant to be listened to after having completed the lesson in your workbook. We hope this teaching equips, encourages, and empowers you. Grace and peace.
Hi, sisters. The last time we met, Angie taught us Tabitha is brought back to life. Peter sees a vision showing that the gospel is for everyone. Peter preaches the gospel to Cornelius, and Cornelius and his house accept Christ and are baptized. We see all of these people have simple obedience and their lives are changed for the better. God meets us where we are. When we are obedient, others are impacted for the better by our obedience. I'll read Acts chapter 11, 19 through 21. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. Because of persecution and Stephen's death, the believers that were scattered to Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch shared the gospel with the Jews. The believers from Cyprus and Cyrene and Antioch shared the gospel with the Greeks, which were Gentiles. The Lord was with them, and many believed and turned to the Lord. A key point, a ministry can't turn people to the Lord without the hand of the Lord. The believers were scattered, but that didn't stop them from preaching the gospel that Jesus saves. They threw themselves into a larger field of opportunity. So the more scattered they were, the more they spread the gospel. These Hellenists were different from the Hellenists in Acts chapter 6 and 9. The Hellenists in chapter 6 and 9 are Greek-speaking Jews, but these Hellenists in chapter 11 are Greek. They're Greek-speaking non-Jews or Gentiles. This is significant because Greek culture was spreading and the gospel is now going to the Gentiles. I'll move on and read Acts chapter 11, verses 22 through 24. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. The church in Jerusalem heard about what was happening and sent Barnabas to Antioch. I will talk about the city of Antioch first to set the stage on why Antioch is significant, and then I will talk about Barnabas. Antioch was also called Syrian Antioch. There were approximately 500,000 people living there. Today, the city is in Turkey, and the population is about 3,500. It is 300 miles north of Jerusalem. It was the third largest city in the Roman Empire behind Rome and Alexandria, Egypt. It was known for business and commerce. It was sophisticated, but also deeply immoral. Antioch was important to the early church and Rome because of its size, location, and many people from different backgrounds lived there. Also, Paul, or Saul, as we're learning about him, used Antioch as a home base for missionary journeys. Believers were first called Christians in Antioch, but I will elaborate on that later. Antioch had the greatest preachers and teachers with informal and formal preaching and teaching, which made the church community special and able to impact the world. Now we'll look at Barnabas. In verse 22, Barnabas is sent to Antioch. He saw the grace of God. He was happy and he encouraged the believers in Antioch to remain faithful to the Lord with unwavering purpose. We learn in Acts 4:36 through 37 that Barnabas is a Levite. The tribe of Levi helped the priests in the tabernacle and temple service. Barnabas is known for his generosity, a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and faith. His name means son of encouragement. Barnabas was sent to Antioch to encourage the believers. He strengthened the church family, and the result was a great many people came to know Christ as Savior. As believers are equipped to the work of ministry, they will grow in maturity, and that causes growth in the church body. When we as believers grow, the church grows. So my question to myself and you is, are we someone's Barnabas? Are we encouraging someone in our circle? Is what we are saying and doing growing God's church? Now I'll look at Acts 11, chapter 11, verses 25 through 26. So So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. So now we see that Barnabas remembers Saul of Tarsus. The Bible doesn't say why Barnabas went to find Saul, but we can speculate he needed help. Maybe God told him to. Maybe Barnabas wanted to encourage Saul. The Greek word used here for look is anazateo. It means Barnabas hunted or went to seek Saul. Saul was so valuable to Barnabas that it was worth it for him to leave the work in Antioch for a season and to search hard for him to find him. Saul was in Tarsus for 12 years, probably in quiet ministry and preparing for future service. For a year, Barnabas and Saul taught a lot of people. In Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Ian, or I-A-N, means the party of. So Christian meant the party of Jesus or Jesus people. Soldiers under Caesar were called Caesareans, so soldiers for Christ are called Christians. It was probably used as a mockery, though. Antioch was famous for being ready to call names and make fun of people. I ask myself and us, are we worthy to be called Christians or Jesus people? I pray I am, and when I'm not, I ask for forgiveness. Now looking at Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 30. Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea, and they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. We see Agabus, a prophet, with knowledge from the Holy Spirit, says that there will be a famine. And there was a famine from 41 to 54 AD. The disciples decide to send relief from Antioch. That's a fairly new church, sending relief to Jerusalem church, which is the established church. They were generous. That reminds me of 2 Corinthians 9:7, that God loves a cheerful giver. And the verse is this: each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's interesting to note that they did not store food like Egypt in Joseph's time, but gave as followers of Christ. Looking at Acts 12, verses 1 through 5. At that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, and when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. So we see in our homework that Herod Agrippa is Herod the Great's grandson and ruled Judea and Samaria. Herod the Great ruled during the days of Jesus' birth. That's Matthew 2, 1 through 16. Herod Agrippa is the nephew of Herod Antipas, who had a role in the trial of Jesus. We see that in Luke chapter 23, 7 through 12. Herod Agrippa kills James the Apostle. He is the first apostle to be martyred. The church has been experiencing success. There was the conversion of Saul, the conversion of the Gentile Cornelius, and then the conversion of all the Gentiles in Antioch, But in Acts chapter 12, the enemy rears his ugly head with opposition to the church and martyrdom. This was probably a shock because James was one of Jesus' three closest disciples. But James and the other apostles probably knew they'd be persecuted because Jesus told them to be ready for persecution. We see that in Matthew 10, chapter 10, 16 through 26. When Herod saw that killing James pleased the Jews, he arrested Peter as well. This was purely political, to receive favor from the Jews. When people care more about pleasing people than God, they are more susceptible to Satan. I'll say that again. When people care more about pleasing people than God, they are more susceptible to Satan. Herod did this during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This is a week-long feast directly following Passover. These feasts reminded the Jews of their quick escape and a deliverance from Egypt. Peter is arrested during the feast, but Herod holds him until after the Passover. He may have delayed Peter's execution to show how well he kept the Passover. Maybe waiting for the pilgrims to leave to avoid a riot, He wanted the full attention of the Jews that lived there. Maybe it was an answer to the church's prayer. So Peter is arrested and has four squads of four soldiers guarding him. Herod probably did this because he knew Peter and the other apostle had escaped from prison before in Acts chapter 5, 17 through 21. So Peter was in prison and the church prayed for him. Not just prayer, but earnest prayer. Earnest means serious-minded or sincere. In James 5:17 in the NLT translation, we see that it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. It is good for Christians to have meetings for prayer, especially in times of trouble. We shouldn't forsake assembling together in prayer. Now looking at Acts chapter 12, verses 6 through 11. Now when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, get up quickly. And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, dress yourself and put on your sandals. And he did so. And he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And he went out and followed him. He did not know what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went out and went along one street. And immediately the angel left him. When Peter came to himself, he said, now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. In these verses, we see God's plan prevails. Peter was sleeping, chained to soldiers, with soldiers guarding the door, but that didn't matter. He seemed as one abandoned by men, but he's not abandoned by God. An angel came, struck Peter, and Peter's chains fell off. The angel gives Peter specific instructions. God is a God of details. He knows exactly what we need and what we are going through. Peter didn't know what was happening was real. He thought it was a vision until he was outside the iron gate leading to the city. This was not a vision or trance like the last time we saw him in Acts chapter 10, verses 10 through 16. The gate opens by itself, and then Peter says, now I'm sure the Lord sent his angels and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. The angel was leading him out of jail. It may have taken him a while to understand what was happening because he had been sleeping. Peter was sleeping the night before his execution. Psalm 127:2 says, he gives his beloved sleep. Receiving help from an angel also reminds me of Hebrews 13:2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Angels are messengers from God and help us. Nothing is impossible with God. In looking at Peter and James, James is martyred, but Peter is not. James probably didn't consider himself to have lost anything because he will be with Christ. It just wasn't Peter's time yet. God decides when we die and when we don't. God allows evil for a time, but according to his timing, he will destroy evil. We can trust God's timing. My family and I are being challenged and tested with a life-changing situation, but I trust God's will, whatever that looks like. Jesus is my rock as we face uncertainty. Let Jesus be your rock if you're facing difficulties. Okay, looking at Acts chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Recognizing Peter's voice in her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, "You are out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so, and they kept saying, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, "Tell these things to James and to the brothers." Then he departed and went to another place. Now when day came, there was no little disturbance among the soldiers over what had become of Peter. And after Herod searched for him and did not find him, he examined the sentries and ordered that they should be put to death. Then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and spent time there. Once Peter comes to his senses, he goes to Mary's house where the church is praying. Mary is the mother of John Mark. He is the writer of the Gospel of Mark and Barnabas's nephew. Peter knocks at the door of the gate and Rhoda goes to answer. She recognizes Peter's voice and she is so joyful, but she doesn't open the gate. She runs to tell the others that Peter is at the gate. They don't believe her and think it's his angel. In their custom, they thought that someone's guardian angel resembled the person they guarded. Peter continues knocking. They finally open the gate and they are amazed. They were praying, but they didn't expect Peter to be delivered from Herod. Their prayers were earnest, but their faith was lacking. We know God answers our prayers, and that increases our faith. Matthew 7:7. If you are still waiting for an answer to prayer, keep praying for it. Also, we should give God praise and thanks when he answers our prayers. The Bible doesn't say, but I'm sure the group stayed there and gave thanks to God for Peter's deliverance from Herod. Peter silences them and tells them how the Lord brought him out of prison. He wants them to tell the story to James and the brothers. This James is the brother of Jesus and a leader in the Jerusalem church. The brothers are Jesus's other brothers. When Herod found out Peter escaped, he was furious. He examined the guards and put them to death. In that day, if a guard's prisoner escaped, the guard was given the penalty due to the prisoner. In this case, it was death. Key point, we see that Herod had soldiers in prison, but the church had the power of prayer. In looking at Peter's life, except for a brief mention of Peter in Acts chapter 15, this is the last Luke speaks of Peter. Peter did later meet Saul, Paul, and Antioch in Galatians 2:11-14, and he wrote the books 1st and 2nd Peter in the New Testament. We'll look at the last five verses here, Acts chapter 12, verses 20 through 25. Now Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they came to him with one accord, and having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they asked for peace, because their country depended on the king's country for food. On an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them, and the people were shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man!" Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him down, because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. But the word of God increased and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had completed their service, bringing with them John, whose other name was Mark. In Acts 12:19, Herod goes down from Judea to Caesarea. People from Tyre and Sidon come to ask for peace because they depend on Herod for food, and he was angry with them. They have overstated praise, and Herod does not give God the glory. It is human nature to look to politicians as deliverers. The people of Tyre and Sidon seem to praise Herod as if he were a god because he controlled their food supply. Immediately, an angel of the Lord strikes him down, and he is eaten by worms and dies. Our homework asks, is this a severe punishment? I say no, because God is just. The way Herod died was appropriate to his spiritual state. He was corrupted from the inside out. In building on other teachings, we see but in verse 24, which is a contrast. We go from Herod's blasphemy and dying to the word of God increasing and multiplying. The contrast between Herod and the church is Herod was judged and the church was blessed. Herod fought against God and didn't succeed. He killed James and arrested Peter. The church earnestly prayed and saw God rescue Peter, and Peter's work continued. History is filled with men that have fought against God and thought they could succeed. Their ruined lives are evidence it can't be done. In Daniel chapter 4, verses 30 through 33, we see Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of the Chaldeans in Babylon. He captured Jerusalem and burned the temple in 586 BC. It was before Christ. He says he built Babylon by his own mighty power, and God takes the kingdom from him. He lives with the beasts of the field. The Bible says 7 periods of time shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom you will. So for 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar would be insane and become like an animal. Then in Daniel 4:34 through 37, Nebuchadnezzar's reason returns to him, and he blesses the Most High and praises and honors him who lives forever. The kingdom is returned to Nebuchadnezzar because he gives God the glory. In summary, God was with Peter and prayer was behind him. God is behind us and we cover each other in prayer. Trials strengthen us to glorify God. I am weak when he is strong. 2 Corinthians 12:10b. Don't stop praying and give thanks. Give God thanks and praise. Thank you, Lord. Be blessed.